Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 34. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Men, who appointed me a judge and or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.' Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? You cannot do this very little thing. Why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Let's pray. Let's pray for glory. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you give us opportunities like this to be able to go to different parts of the world, tell people the gospel there, to help the churches there, encourage the Christians, and to evangelize the non-Christians. Father, we want to pray for Gloria and her friends at the F13. We are so thankful for the work that you are doing in them this year. Know, Father, Lord, that this month will be a great month. A month where they will learn heaps of things. A month where they will be encouraged to continue to trust in the God who is at work in this world. Please help them and please go before them, Lord, because we know without you, the work that they do is in vain. But with us, all of us, loves you. Thanks, and we pray that there will be great blessing for the church. Excited about what you are doing in this world. Come home. Love Jesus. And we also want to pray for other people in this church who are away on holiday. Thankful, Lord, that you've given them a day and have a time off. Pray that this time off that they have will be one where rest that is coming, final eternal rest. Try. One day, I promise you, one day we will work this out. All right, let me start with this. I don't know whether I've asked this question before. Do you know what a fool looks like? Do you know what a fool looks like? Someone who is foolish, do you know what he looks like? Look around you. Look at the person next to you. You see a fool? Take a picture of yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Are you a fool? Because that's an important question, isn't it? Often we don't think we are foolish, but maybe we are. I think today's passage is a reminder of that. Today's passage helps us ask that question of ourselves. When we look at our lives, have we been foolish? At the end, will the final judgment, will the verdict be for a fool? Well, here's a guy who is foolish. As we look at Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 34, we find this guy who doesn't get it, who just does not get it. You see, he would have heard what Jesus said much, much earlier. The things of eternity, Jesus would say, the things of eternity matters more than the things here on earth. Remember what Jesus said last week and the week before that, in the previous chapter and earlier in this chapter. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't be afraid of men. The worst they can do is hurt and kill you here in this earth, here in this life. But God can do much more. You need to be thinking about eternity, not just this temporary and momentary life that we have here on earth. You need to be thinking about eternity, not this 80, 90 years we have. But this guy wasn't listening. His mind, his heart, was still set on the things of this earth. And particularly, they are set on the inheritance that he did not get, the inheritance that he really wanted. So out of nowhere, he said to Jesus, if you look at chapter 12, verse 13, out of nowhere, he said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus didn't come to settle matters like this. He came as a man, not to settle matters like this. He's come for bigger things. He's got bigger things to be worrying about. He's got eternity in his mind. He's come to usher the kingdom of God and to make sure that people like you and people like me, would know how we can be part of that kingdom. That's why Jesus is here. So Jesus gives him a warning. Jesus wants him to realize that he still hasn't got it yet, because this guy, there's something in him that's stopping him from entering the kingdom of God. And by the way, it's a warning for all of us too, because the same thing could be happening to us. Something, that same thing could be stopping us from entering the kingdom of God. So have a look at verse 15. Here in your outline, it's all printed there. Have a look at verse 15. It says, "Then he said to them," so not just this man, to everyone else, he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Listen to this. "Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." See that? Watch out for greed. And this is why. Life is not about how much wealth you accumulate. Life is not about how much stuff you have. Watch out for greed. His life is not about money. And since this guy wasn't listening before, maybe he still won't get it even after he heard it directly from Jesus. So Jesus told him a story. Now the story is a bit extreme because the guy in the story became incredibly rich. Financially, he had everything he wanted, everything he would have dreamt. And the last time I retold this story, if you remember, it was also a guy who made his millions creating an iPhone app, but tragically died in his million-dollar car. And remember when he died, an angel came to him and said, "I'm here to count down your life. 10, 9, 8. No, 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 I'm not ready yet. 7, 6, 5. I'll give you everything. I'll give you my car, my shares, everything I have. 4, 3, 2. No, no, stop, stop. 1. I was thinking about it. I wonder, though, if that makes us think that this parable only applies for those who are ultra-rich, you know, those filthy rich people. I wonder if it makes us think that it doesn't apply to us. We are so removed from this because we're not filthy rich. But of course, remember, by the standards of this world, we are. Even by the standards of the developed world, Australia is doing incredibly well. But I wonder, when we read this story, we think to ourselves, I'm not the same as that guy who's building bigger barns. Well, you know what? I think Jesus could have also told a story like this. An ordinary guy really worked hard because he's obsessed about getting rich. It's all he talks about. It's his dream since he was very little. So he studies really, really hard and gets a really good mark in his HSC and works out at university as well, doing comm law, and gets a good mark in that. He got a high distinction average. All he talks about is how to make a quick buck here, how to make a quick buck there. But you know, funnily enough, he never did. He never reached the top. He worked filthy hard, but maybe he was just unlucky, or he had a bad personality and just rubbed people the wrong way. He never made it. He never made it, and he died as an old man, stuck in his job for 30 years, and he hated every day of it. You know what? Every day he went to the news agency and he bought a lottery ticket. That this is my way out. My way out. And he looked back about all the promises that he had. Now it's all gone because he's stuck in this job. You know what happened at the end? Breathe his last, God called him a fool. Or this guy, a dad, a family guy who never saw his kids because he's too busy pursuing his career and getting more money. He thought by giving stuff to his kids, he'll be a good dad, but he isn't a good dad because he doesn't even know that little Jimmy just wanted his dad to come home and tuck him in at night. And all that little Jenny wanted was his dad to watch her in her piano recital and tell her how wonderfully she played. You know what happened in the end? God called him a fool. Or the couple who all their life had enough for a holiday, had enough to upgrade their gadgets, had enough to eat out, but never had enough to give that 10% or 5% to the poor or to the work of the gospel. There's always some excuse. A bigger mortgage, car repayments, kids' education, investment property, saving up for retirement. You know what happens in the end? God called them a fool. You know what's the same in all of these stories? Their life was all about the accumulation of wealth. It doesn't matter if they succeeded or not. It doesn't matter if they end up rich or not. What Jesus is saying is this. If your life consists in abundance, in the abundance of your possessions, you're a fool. If you live your life pursuing wealth, here's the verdict of the life you live. Fool. Thinking about retreat, I always think, those times when we play cards, late at night playing cards, playing Big Two, playing cheat. You know Big Two? Yeah? You know cheat? Yeah, the point of the game, if you don't know the game, it doesn't matter. The point of the game is you want to get rid of your card as soon as possible, right? The first one who gets rid of your card wins. That's the point of the game. But imagine you're playing with someone. Say, for example, you're playing Chi. And he messed up and he got all these cards. And he's going, yay, I have all these cards. Oh, look all the aces I've got. Look at all the kings and jacks. He's got a stack of cards and he thought he won. That is the life we live when we think life is about the accumulation of wealth. Fools. We've misunderstood what life is all about. We're fools because that wealth doesn't determine whether we've lived a life of wisdom. Point number one. I reckon the world knows this. I reckon the world knows that life is not about accumulating wealth. It's kind of obvious because God designed it that way. And if you just observe people and if you just observe the world, you'll realize this. That the life accumulating wealth and getting more and more is foolish. I reckon that's obvious. You're smart enough, you'll figure this out. That's why we have saying like the best things in life are free. That's why we have saying like things like money doesn't buy you happiness. The world knows this, but the problem is they have no cure for it. It doesn't stop them from pursuing wealth. It doesn't stop the world from pursuing wealth. And in God's words, they're making a fool of themselves, even though they know that this is not how you live. We never find a cure for this if we never get to the reason why. Why we seem to have this tendency for greed, or why we have this tendency to want to accumulate wealth, why we can't stop being fools. Now, if you look at the Bible, I think there are two reasons. One is discontentment, that you're never content. And number two, which we're going to look at, is worry. I think the two are related, and interestingly enough, though we're only going to look at the second one, the cure is actually the same for both of them. This is my theory. We act like fools because we're anxious. We accumulate wealth because we worry. Worried about what we will eat in the future, what we will wear, whether we will have a roof over our heads. Worry about what will happen after we retire. We worry about our kids, whether they can go to private school. We worry about whether or not we'll finally be able to buy a home. We worry about keeping up with our friends who just bought their first investment property. We worried about the dollar crashing. We worried about losing our jobs. We worry because we have no control over the future. I want you to have a look at verse 22. Verse 22. So it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Notice how Jesus started that sentence. Notice the therefore. There's a connection here. He just said, the one who accumulates wealth, the one who is greedy, he's a fool. And you expect him to say, therefore, I tell you, don't be greedy. You expect him to say that, wouldn't you? He just said, if you accumulate wealth, you're a fool. You expect him to say, therefore, don't accumulate wealth. But he didn't say that. He said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Why? Because when we worry about our life, we end up accumulating wealth. We end up being fools. Have a look at verse 23. He gives us the reason. For life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Kind of like what he said in verse 15, isn't it? For life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. When we worry about life, about what we eat, about what we wear, we end up acting and living as fools. Deb sent me an article, which is, I think is very relevant to you guys who are having exams. They did this experiment, if you want to call it that way. They did this experiment. They got a bunch of students to do their tests. But for one group of students, before they did their tests, rather than immediately start writing, they're told to take the first 10 minutes to just write down what they are anxious about or what makes them anxious about this exam. First 10 minutes. It's like a waste of 10 minutes, if you ask me. But you know what the results were? In average, the group that did that spent time writing stuff down, thinking about what they're worried about, they actually did well. They actually did better than the group that didn't. If you worry, you'll end up not doing as well. You know that, right? You're doing exams and you're anxious about your exams and you're thinking about it too much and you're studying. You have no time for everything else. You probably won't do as well. When we worry, we end up making mistakes. And here's one big mistake that we will do if we worry about life. And we worry about life, make a mistake. And you know what that mistake is? We'll end up looking for security. But we'll end up looking for a sense of safety, wrong things. End up looking for them in wealth. Friends, if you worry, become fools. Point number three. So Jesus tells us, not to worry. What reason do we have not to worry? God is the cure for our worries. He takes care of the ravens, Jesus says, birds of no value. He clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow. And Jesus' point there is, how much more will he care for us? If he cared for those things, how much more will he care for us? And this great, there's this wonderful Australian poet and theologian. He said this, put it up. His name is Colin Buchanan. This is what he said. There's a Lord who cares for the old black crow, the wombat, the gecko, and the kangaroo. And one thing's for sure, we are worth much more. God who cares for people too. You know, when we watch TV, when non-Christians come to church, or then when they watch TV and they watch their televangelists, a lot of them come to the conclusion that all Christians want, or all ministers want, or all churches want, is to get your money. And so they come to the conclusion that all God wants is your money. God wants your money, right? And you know, I don't blame them for thinking that way, because when you watch televangelists and they seem to always be asking for money, when you enter some churches and all you hear about week in, week out is about how people need to be giving more and more and more, it's hard to not come to the conclusion that God wants your money. But I think that's a mistake. I think that's complete misunderstanding. And if you think that way, let me correct your thinking right now. God does not want your money. Okay? You want me to say it again? God does not want your money. You know what God wants? He does not want your money. He wants your worry. That is what he wants. He does not want your money. He wants your worry. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, the New Living Translation puts it the best way, I think. It says, oh, that's not the NLT, that's the NIV. Let me read the NLT. It says, give all your worries and cares to God. For he cares about you. God wants us to give him all our worries. Have you guys ever seen a baby eat chili before? It is hilarious. It is hilarious, let me tell you that. We had some bak chang, which is kind of like this sticky rice wrapped in leaves with stuff inside. And we gave it to Lizzie, knowing that there is a piece of chili in there, but we thought if we take out the chili, it'll be fine. But obviously, we didn't take it out very well. maybe it broke or somehow the chili seeped in through everything else. And there she was. I'm eating a sticky rice. There's a bunch of sticky rice on a plate and putting it in her mouth. And she's crying. She's going, and she's looking at Deb and she's looking at me and going, drink some water, Lizzie, drinking some water. And I'm thinking, that's okay. So she'll have to learn how to eat chili. And she's going, no, she's crying. But you know what she's doing? She's putting more of the sticky rice into her mouth. And she was crying. It's hilarious. Going, don't eat it if it's hurting you. And every time I come to her and go, okay, no, give it to Daddy. Give it back to Daddy. Just give it back to Daddy. I don't want to see you hurting anymore. And she puts it in her mouth again. And I think that's what we do with our worries. God's coming to us and say, no, give me your worry. Don't put it in your mouth again. What are you doing? You're being really silly. Give me your worry. And you know what happens when we give him our worries, when we give him our anxieties, the things that we're not sure about? You know what happens? He gives us security. He gives us safety and comfort. Our good Father in heavens is the cure for our anxieties, our worries about life. And when we give him our worry, it frees us. It frees us to be generous. It frees us to invest in things that will matter in the end. It frees us to accumulate the wealth that will last, not the stuff here on earth. It frees us to live our lives to the full rather than be enslaved by our worries, because our worry is that. It is a shackle. It is a shackle that enslaves us. You know what will happen when you give God your worries? You won't be running after things that the pagans, the non-Christian world, runs after. Verse 30. You won't need a job in the Big Four when you graduate. And you won't be giving up Christian growth for the sake of a promotion. You won't do this because you have a good Father in heaven who gives you everything you need. You know what will happen when you are cured of your worries? Verse 31, you'll be seeking the kingdom of God first. You'll be working and praying towards winning your friends for Christ. You won't be working towards financial security. You'll be working towards winning our community for Christ, not towards a comfortable lifestyle. We can do this because you know what? We're not afraid. Because we know that God is pleased to give us what we need, but much more than that. You realize that? Have a look at verse 32. He gives us the kingdom of God. He gives us everything. He gives us this inheritance in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that will last forever. You know what happens when you are freed from the shackles of greed? Verse 33, you will be free to sell your possessions and give them to the poor. You will be free to build up treasures in heaven, treasures that will never be taken away from us, that will never drop in value. You'll be free to take risks and give up maybe a bigger portion of your income to support an organization who's working hard training more gospel workers or translating the Bible or planting churches in unreached areas or reaching out to the people who live here in Sydney. You'll be free to give up maybe a luxury like a holiday or a mobile phone upgrade or another gadget that will be really nice to have but you don't really need. You'll be free to give up all those things to help the poor, to provide clean water to people who have to walk for hours just to get water, to provide education to kids who otherwise will have to work in mines, to provide microloans for single mothers so she can start her own business and provide for her own family. You'll be free to do all those things because you've been freed from the shackles of your worry that leads to greed. And God is looking at you and he's saying, give me your worry, and you will be free from a life of foolishness. I reckon you will be surprised at what God can do through you. I'll finish with this. Often with talks like this, and rightly so, by the way, we always hear how bad we are. How much we haven't been generous enough, fair enough. Often, I think we need to be whipped even harder. We live in such a materialistic society. Like, honestly, I find it hard to go hard at you guys because I know of my own sinfulness and the scraps of greed that is still in there that I'm still unwilling to let go, the bits that the Holy Spirit is still working hard to get rid in me. I think it's fair enough that we get a hard talk on this and calls us to repentance, and I hope you do. But I feel like today, I want to encourage you, especially those of you who have been wise, because I know there are some of you, and I hope many of you who have been wise. I want to say to you, well done. Well done if you've been trusting your God, if you've been giving God your worries, if you've been putting your security in God and not on your wealth, well done. Well done if you've broken the shackles of greed and experienced the freedom of generosity. I want to say to you, well done, because you've chosen the life of great wisdom, not of terrible foolishness. If you've been giving generously a portion of your income to the work of the gospel, if you've been giving up your time to make sure that your brothers and sisters are growing in Christ like you are, if you've been giving good things that God has given you to enjoy, you've given those good things up so that the poor and the destitute can find some relief from their pain and suffering, if you've been praying hard for those who don't have the same opportunities as you do, those who are persecuted and afflicted, I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you that your work is not in vain. I want to tell you, well done, you've chosen the life of wisdom. See, the world has this fear of missing out, FOMO, the fear of missing out on an experience like traveling the world or a big paycheck or a big house with a big backyard so your kids can run around or fine dining or just that extra cash, that 10% of your income that you could have used for this or that. This is God's word for you today who are wise. You are not missing out on anything. You are not missing out on anything, because what you give up here in this world, you will have 100-fold later on. And not just then, you will have it here as well, in the form of fellowship, in the form of Christian growth, in the form of wisdom. You are not missing out. The best life you can live in this world, to invest in the life that you will live in the world to come. Best life you can live in this world, to invest in the life you will live in the world to come. In doing that, well done. Great job. Please keep doing it. You'll never ever regret it. Pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know we are weak. And maybe we need a rebuke. Or maybe we just need an encouragement to continue on living wisely. Father, help us to understand what life is about, what life is not about, and it is not about getting more stuff. Help us to live this life wisely. pray, Lord, that you will help us think about practical things that we can do. All those letters that we've been getting because it's near the end of financial year, charity organizations asking for help, Christian organizations asking to help for help to balance their budget. Help us, Lord, think wisely and help them. Investing in things that will matter. Help us, Lord, to be wise. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We still have a bit of time. I thought I'd open for some questions. If you have any? Let's stand then, sing praises to our great God, a God who will be praised, a God who will be glorified, a God who has given us all things.